Welcome back. Another episode of One Newsman and a Web Guy.
I am the newsman.
I am the web guy. This week.
Yes.
What are we going to look at? We're going to look at the Big Mac Daddy.
Yeah, I hear this is a very interesting one, and it sounds like fast food could be healthy.
Oh, really?
Maybe not.
Anyway, if you've ever eaten a Big Mac, you'll be interested in this story.
Indeed.
Hey, are you sick of having to make your own appointments? Well, we've got just the thing for you. Well, Google have just the thing for you. If you're sick of having to make your own haircut appointment, for example, Google help you out with some new technology.
This sounds like a very futuristic one, Tim. I can't wait to have a chat about that one.
You'll be scared. It'll scare you, newsman.
Oh.
Also, I have a scoop.
Ooh, what's it about? Oh, you can't tell me. That's the hook.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I have spotted, and I'm the first person, as far as I know, to spot this new hot celebrity trend. So I'll run you through that as well.
Sounds good.
Yep, all that and not much more on One Newsman and Web Guy. Misread this headline initially, newsman. I thought a guy was in the news because he had been the person to eat the 30,000th McDonald's Big Mac.
Nah, you know how that in a week.
You know how someone comes into the store and, this is the 1 millionth thing we sold. Congratulations. I thought he was the one who had, you know, hit the milestone.
Do they actually do those awards? I've seen them on TV shows, but never really encountered that happening in real life.
Yeah, no, it's all made up.
That's an aside anyway.
But no, this man had eaten his own 30,000th Big Mac. So a better way of saying that is this guy in Wisconsin? Should have practiced that before. USA has eaten 30,000 Big Macs in the last 46 years.
Oh, he's 64. I don't have a calculator with me. How old is he? Sorry?
He's 64. Mm. In the last 46 years, he's been just chowing down on Big Macs. He eats basically two a day, every day for those last almost 50 years. He's been dubbed the Big Mac Daddy. Mm-hmm. He's just like, he goes into the same Mac as in Wisconsin and has two a day. He's kind of become, I think, a bit of a semi-celeb about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. He reckons 90% of his diet consists of these burgers. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
90% of his diet.
Yeah, weird, isn't it? He says his cholesterol and blood pressure are normal, mm-hmm. even though, you know, he's been chowing down on this notoriously unhealthy fast food. When he started eating these burgers 46 years ago, they were 75 cents. Now they are $3.57. He spent about $80,000 on Big Macs in the last 40-odd years.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you tallied anything you've done for that long.
Oh, okay, yes. Mr. Dr. Sensible over here. It's a good headline, though. $80,000 blown on Big Macs.
It's an amazing figure, and probably much to McDonald's delight, showing that you can eat their food and not have any problems.
I just want to quickly jump on that because this story so far sounds like just manna from heaven for the good people at McDonald's. Like, what a story this is. Mm. The guy has been eating essentially nothing but Big Macs for almost 50 years. He's in fine health. He's doing great. Sounds good. But then it turns out he suffers from obsessive compulsive disorder. So is he really even, I mean, I almost wonder, should they be selling them to him? Like, if he has a condition, he almost can't stop eating them.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. All of a sudden the story takes on a different tone.
You sort of wonder with someone with a disorder like that, they probably have a lot of mannerisms that are, we don't know this, but he may have other mannerisms that require a lot of repeat actions and things like that. So whether he burns a lot of calories doing things during the day, which would account for him being of reasonable weight.
But like running two marathons every day? We don't know if he does that.
No, or just, you know, walking up the flight of stairs at home 10 times before he can go to the toilet or something like that. I don't know.
Not only is he obsessive compulsive, which all of a sudden McDonald's are probably thinking, oh, let's maybe not, let's, you know, this is not the good news story we necessarily thought. It takes a turn for the worse because he does not even have working taste buds. So he eats these burgers every day for nearly 50 years, doesn't know what they taste like, cannot taste them, don't work.
So yeah, initially I thought maybe a McDonald's driven article, but no.
No, they don't want this. They don't want this getting out. Makes me wonder obviously if he's got the compulsive disorder, he's in a routine of eating them. But if he's not tasting it, is it maybe a texture thing? Is it like that rubber cheese or something that is what keeps him coming back?
And what stemmed it? What stemmed this thing so many years ago? Someone decided, hey, this is McDonald's. This is what it's all about. Would that have been... How long's McDonald's been around?
Ages.
Longer than this?
Yeah. It started in the 50s or maybe earlier.
Yeah, okay.
Around about then.
But maybe he went, oh, what's this all about? New store opened up.
Yeah.
Enjoyed one so much. Had another one. A nice-looking lady complimented on his glasses. And he said, I'm doing this every day. And see if she comes back or something similar.
Do you have foods like that that you eat compulsively?
I wouldn't say compulsively, but there are foods that I've eaten from childhood and are still eating them.
Like?
Vegemite sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all do that, don't we?
Nutella sandwiches.
Yeah, no, I've dropped off that. So you're still powering on with Nutella.
And I remember the first time I actually had Nutella. Next door neighbors gave me a spoonful out of their thing. I'd never had, like, in my family it was, you know, Vegemite peanut butter, so this was like heaven on a knife. And then they brought out a range when I was early teens and I was sort of going through a growth spurt. They brought out these glasses, like Nutella came in like a drinking glass.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And I stocked the kitchen cupboards at home with glasses and felt like I was kind of doing a community service and believing the publicity of Nutella that it's good for you.
Yeah, okay.
Full of milk, hazelnuts, way better than peanuts, apparently.
Publicity or just bold-faced lies, either or. I can understand where this guy's coming from a little bit because I don't so much buy lunch now, but I did buy it more regularly in the past. And to me, it was not so much what I ate for lunch. It was just that routine of going out, where do you go, what do you get, how long is it going to take, is it going to be good? I understand the idea of, look, I know this works, I know how long it's going to take, I know I'm going to get the same thing every time, I know those people there, just going to do it, it's done. It's not so much about what I'm eating, it's about just getting through that process. Because I've gotten into some pretty deep ruts in establishments, and I end up, at a certain point, I feel like it becomes awkward that you go there too often.
Yeah.
And I'll feel like, oh, I have to change it up now.
And while we scoff at this story, there are many people that will go overseas and will head to their nearest fast food restaurant, chain restaurant, because in a foreign country, they know what they're getting. And so that part of the argument makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
A lot of sense. So, yeah. Food for thought. Sorry.
Whole movie was made. Well, a whole book was written and then a movie was made about it, Newsman, about how in the future we'll probably need to have a way to work out the difference between who are the humans and who are the robots.
Ooh, what movie? It doesn't quickly come to mind.
Blade Runner.
Okay, yes, yes.
So he has a series of tests. He sits down with a suspected robot, whoever, whatever they are, androids, I don't know, runs through the questions, and then it's his job to watch the answers and determine, is this a human or is this a robot?
Yes, it seemed very futuristic at the time, but not too far away.
That day's here. The day's here. Story this week, creating all kinds of backlash. Google has debuted some new AI technology. to do with the, I think it's called Google Duplex is the kind of app, and it's like a bot, artificially intelligent assistant, which you can use to help you do tasks. It's been described as one of the most chilling technological demonstrations to date.
Chilling.
They, at a convention, they replayed a moment where they got this Google Assistant to ring up a hairdresser and make an appointment, which it did, and the hairdresser on the other end of the line had no idea she was talking to a robot.
Now, often when we hear voice sort of voice activated or sort of intuitive programs like this, it's stilted and the responses don't sound human-like to me.
Yeah.
That's where it always falls down.
Have a listen.
How can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
Wow, well, that's pretty impressive, isn't it, Tim? What I like about it, and whether it's deliberate or not, is there's a few little mannerisms that make it sound a bit more human-like. I think she might even stumble over a word or something just to...
A few, okay.
Yeah, just a few things that don't make it sound so pre-prepared.
That's part of the backlash. Quickly before we go on that, the robot... quite rude, needs a manners upgrade. Didn't actually say goodbye at the end of the call. Anyway, that's
for an fixed upgrade. Yeah.
But what you're saying is part of what the problem is.
the bit I like is the problem.
Yeah, because here we go. Someone, this is a professor of smartness at some university, said, Google Assistant making calls pretending to be human, not only without disclosing that it's a bot, but adding and ah to deceive the human on the other end, with the room cheering it, horrifying. Silicon Valley is ethically lost, blah, blah, blah. So this professor was saying that a more appropriate response from the audience listening would have been to erupt into utter panic.
Now, I like it and I think I would embrace it, but you've got a few concerns about it, I believe.
Well, not me. Other people, the one I've just read out.
Yeah.
Someone else said has a smart idea. This is an Aussie guy, Matt Barry. He's seen this video of the bot making the call, and he says, I see where this is going. Google Duplex is the Trojan horse. When the call flips, Google will be the one answering the phones, taking payments, doing appointment setting. Oh. They'll know everything about your business. So the business can say, yeah, let's get our admin done by this Google robot thingy. So in reverse, someone rings up the business and a robot makes the appointment.
Well, we've got the very rudimentary part of that already when you call a call center and say, you know, what's your inquiry? Is it banking details? Is it customer service? And you have to...
Yeah.
And that obviously is not very human-like.
Mm.
But we're already interacting with automated things.
Yeah.
But that talks about, we'll use the hairdresser incorporating it and a person calling. But I guess eventually it'll be two robots speaking to each other.
And we'll just be playing golf.
Yeah.
one problem I can foresee with it is this technology is just ripe for trolling. You can just prank everyone, anyone, left, right, and center. You can get your Google Assistant to ring up anyone and say anything to them. people are just going to go wild, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, it's like the internet, I guess. The people that with the brain, the what do you call them?
The brain people.
The people that came up with the internet wouldn't have thought that it could be used for evil purposes, to, you know, online predators to lure teenagers and terrible things like that. And society has to quickly evolve and come up with laws to police how we use this technology, which in many ways should be really, really positive. But yeah, there are some concerns and pitfalls there.
I reckon they would have known, the internet pioneers would have known, that would not have underestimated the human ability to corrupt anything that we get given or that we invent. And that's why I think there just needs to be a series of checks and balances. And what a lot of people are saying about this call is, you just got to say, hey, you know, you just got to somehow let the hairdresser on the other end of the phone know, hey, you're talking to a robot. Up front, this is the robot you're talking to.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And Google have said basically, well, yeah, that's, you know, this technology is not out, and they haven't rolled it out, so to speak, yet. But so making sure that happens, hey, will be part of what they do.
So it'd be like, hey, I'm Google on behalf of Marcus. He'd like to book a haircut. Is that how it would work?
Yeah, something like that, I guess.
The amount of calls that go that smoothly, though, I think it worked perfectly, but there would be so many times when, like, the store would say, well, we're closed at this time. Or do you think there were enough challenges for Google in that example?
Interesting. They might have tried that call 1,000 times, and that was the only one time when it actually worked.
I mean,
worked.
It just seems so convenient that, you know, oh, okay, well, can I have my haircut between 10 and 12? When, from my experiences of trying to book a haircut, much more complex.
But they've got this far. You know, clearly there's going to be hiccups. They have already got to this point. You know, the rest of it is just ironing out the wrinkles.
Mm.
So, bottom line, scary days or exciting? I don't know. You be the judge. I think I've discovered something this week, newsman.
You are a man of many talents, and I'm no doubt you have discovered something. What is it?
I have uncovered the latest celebrity trend. Which is unusual for me to have come up with this, because I know little about both celebrities or trends.
I think you do. I think you do.
Yeah, I've come up with this theory that, you know how at a certain point it became very unfashionable for politicians to be like elite? All of a sudden everyone was, you know, had come from, you know, like a, you know, a pretty modest background. They had worked their own way up the ladder, you know, none of the silver spoon stuff.
No, we wanted to hear them speak in simple speak as well, maybe be seen drinking a beer at the local pub. That was always good.
All that. I have detected a shift, as can pinpoint it down to as, you know, smaller period as just this week, that all of a sudden celebrities, very important they are feeling to portray themselves as just normal folk.
Okay.
So this is the latest celebrity trend, being normal.
Ooh. And how's that going down?
Just some recurring stories all along similar lines. Let's have a look at a few of them. First off, Matt Damon spotted this week just shopping in Kmart.
In Australia?
Yeah. Ballina.
Shopping in Kmart, yeah.
So stopped for a photo with a young fan that went pretty viral. I guess because it was sort of weird, like Matt Damon, Hollywood star, just shopping in Kmart, in a Ballina Kmart.
Well, you'd think for the average Australian, there's a little bit of a stigma about shopping in Kmart. It suggests you're either thrifty or on a budget, and you're not thinking too much about where the products are made, because most of them are made, you know, cheap and cheerful from China, something like that.
Yeah.
So this story grabbed my attention because I'm thinking, this guy makes billions and he's in Australia on holiday with a Hemsworth, I think, decides he needs to purchase something from Kmart. So, yeah, it very much shows he's a normal guy. Very tight guy, maybe.
Yeah. the picture I'm looking at, it looks like maybe he was purchasing some teddy bears.
Okay.
So anyway, there's a celebrity just being normal.
Hmm.
Next up, Carrie Bickmore. She counts as a celebrity?
Yeah.
Probably not Matt Damon level.
No, I would... The way I can tell someone's a celebrity if my parents know who it is. So they're like, oh, yeah, that's that young lass from the TV show.
She is a young lass.
Yeah, so she's a celeb for
she's
sure.
She's a celeb. Story about her this week. Here's just a little intro to the story that was going around. Carrie Bickmore, usually immaculately dressed while on TV, or as she graces the front cover of a magazine.
Mm.
Now she's shown fans what her life's really like. And she had posted a photo of her messy bedroom. Just showing you that now. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, okay. So that's looking... Oh, yeah. That looks pretty atypical.
Looks messy.
Yep.
She said something like, it's been a big week. Time to clean up for the week ahead. I promise it's not always this messy.
So there's clothes on the floor. The quilt is in a ball on top of the mattress.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The
gym gear all over
the typical place. Sort of scene if you've run out of time or you're in a rush or you're just messy.
Mm. So here's a TV celebrity saying, hey, look, I'm just regular Joe here. Can't even keep my room tidy, like anyone. All right, Carrie, wow, you're being really normal. Interesting. Mm. My antenna starts to pick up at this point, and then it just about blew right off when I find out Justin Bieber is also getting in on the let's just be normal.
No.
Yeah.
Because he's, my impressions of his social media is, you know, shirt off,
mm-hmm.
looking the best he possibly can, looking tough, showing a new tattoo.
Yeah.
Just a real Hollywood, music star sort of persona that you'd expect.
Yeah. Well, he has sent a message to fans this week. I quote, hey world, that glamorous lifestyle you see portrayed by famous people, I'm going to cut in here. E.g. you, Justin, I'll continue, on Instagram, don't be fooled thinking their life is better than yours. I can promise you it's not. All right, okay, so Justin Bieber, just a normal guy. Man, he's just saying, my life's not better than yours.
No, not at all.
Well, how come that post got 2,200,000 likes when...
Was there a picture with it, or was that just...
No picture, man. He's just normal. He's not posting some crazy picture. That's just a note.
Well, so what's your take on this trend? Do you like it?
No, I'm suspicious.
Suspicious?
Highly suspicious. I think there's just some, you know, just this, there's this, you know, cultural backlash against elites. It's reached, our pop stars, I guess, and so now they're wanting to feel like... They're wanting the public to feel like we're just like you, but just only different in some very important ways, which we will quickly gloss over.
Pick and choose whether we work, we live in amazing places.
Yeah.
And yeah, but to be honest, I think from my experience of watching people pour through celebrity magazines, is they like the escapism of those who are above us, those who live a life we cannot acquire.
Mm.
So in many ways, it'll deflate the balloon for many people.
What actually is so special about actors? I know there's only, only Matt Damon probably is a real actor there. But I was thinking about, what they get paid. I've got a stat here about The Rock, another actor. He's getting paid $30 million Australian dollars. In Aussie dollars, $30 million for his next movie. What is it about actors that, that is a huge paycheck?
Mm.
And, that's extreme even by acting standards. But they all, the top ones get paid heaps. What is it that they have or can do? Obviously, appearance is part of it, but not all actors are, glamour models.
No.
And in terms of movies, it comes down to, it has to be just their ability to seemingly act normal in a very abnormal situation. If you think about the movie set, people around, lights, noises, the finished product we see is so different to when they're making the thing.
Yeah.
It's in that moment, being able to act like a normal person in that bizarre situation. That is what their skill is, isn't it?
Oh, you've really thought this out. I like that.
Well, because I was trying to work out if I could do it, and I've realised, no, certainly not.
No. And for all the information we do have about making a movie, and you've detailed some of them there, we still get sucked into the movie. We still...
Yes.
We don't go, oh, that's a set, or...
No.
We're living it. If The Rock is speeding through a city flooded by water and buildings are falling around him.
As they usually are.
At that time, I'm not thinking, oh, that was generated on a computer. I am living it. I'm going, quick.
Yeah.
That
get out of there, Rock.
That that ocean liner is going to flip onto you. But
anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And the ones that where you feel like where it's noticeably a movie, they're the ones that are not good movies.
Yeah.
But on The Rock, and speaking of social media, and maybe, you know, let's bust this myth that they're normal people. I really don't think they are. He is getting paid. He's getting $30 million for his next movie. Mm. 1.3 mil just to do some social media posts around the promotion of that movie. So he will tweet, blah, blah, whatever. Hey, my new movie coming out. He gets over $1 million just for that.
And I think he would enjoy it as well.
Of course he would, yeah.
You know, oh, this is the work I did. Because deep down, I think that's part of why they do it. They want to share what they can do.
Yep.
Get paid $1 million for that.
Yep.
Hmm. Disappointing.
We don't get paid $1 million to tweet about one newsman and a web guy.
How many tweets have you done?
Couple.
Couple.
All right, that's it.